Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 85. And tonight we're going to talk about mercy's role in justice. Mercy's role or mercy's part in justice. And we're going to read Psalm 85. I was only going to read a portion of this, but I think I've got a couple extra minutes here. You follow me quickly. I'm going to read fairly quickly through this, and I want to teach you something. Keep your Bibles open. You're going to need them. We're going to use them just a little bit tonight. Psalm 85, verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Notice this. He's talking about bringing them back out of captivity, out of judgment. 70 years of judgment. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to their folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that the glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. Now, mercy is not what most people think. Most people think that mercy is the stopping or the avoiding of justice, the avoiding of punishment. Most people think mercy is a guilty person not being punished because the judge or the offended is too kind and too loving to punish them. That is not justice. That is not mercy. Mercy is not withholding what a person deserves in judgment and not giving it to them. Justice and mercy must work together. But justice and mercy, you have to understand something. Mercy is not letting somebody go unpunished that is guilty and has been found guilty and condemned and punishment has been issued. To withhold that then would be the lack of justice. If, let me go just a little farther here and I'll illustrate. Mercy is not something that you replace for justice. You have to understand something. Mercy is not a replacement for justice. If wrong has been done, justice must be meted out. And justice and mercy work together. Now watch this. If somebody has been accused, tried, found guilty, and punishment is awaiting them, and they don't get punished, has justice been served? Yes or no? All right. Let's try it like Baptist, not tired Methodist. If someone has gone through that whole process, but they're not punished, is that just? Yes or no?
No,
it's not. All right? So to not punish them would be unjust, not merciful. Mercy is not the withholding of punishment. Let's see here. If wrongdoing is not punished, the offender, the person that broke the law, is more likely to go out and do it again. See, there's a justice in someone being punished. The punishment is not because of who they violated. It's to try to keep the violator from doing it ever again. Everybody understand that? It's called correction. Now, mercy does not take away punishment, nor does it remove justice. It works with justice. Let me show you what I mean. In about 3 weeks, I have to go to court again for the lovely person who stole the church van and had 10 robbery attempts in 3 different counties and was chased by 3 different police departments in 2 different states. He's been in jail for 2 years. He's faced trial in Berkeley County. He's faced trial in Jefferson County. Now he's facing it in Virginia and has been moved to Virginia and has been in jail in Virginia for months. And now it's going to trial, and I have to testify probably before court in that one as well. Now, wait a minute. When I've talked to all the different attorneys involved with this, they said, "Pastor, are you going to drop all charges?" I said, "No." I said, "That wouldn't be just." I said, "I don't think it's fair for him to get let go just because we're a church." I said, "But it's also not fair for him to get more punishment because it was a church." I said, "I think justice needs meted so that he doesn't want to do this again." I said, "I'm for punishing him, not a life sentence. And I don't think he should be punished more because of the fact that he stole a church van. Now, I think it's low, but I don't think that he needs punished any more than if he had stole your van or your car. But if he stole anybody's vehicle, he should be punished, correct?" All right. Now, I said this. Now, watch this. Mercy isn't not punishing him. Mercy is not replacing justice. Mercy is not to be in opposition of justice. They must work together. Now, mercy must operate within the realm or within the boundaries or within the confines of justice, or it's not mercy. Now, mercy is not the absence of punishment because of love. Can I tell you something? And I'm going to get on. I got on parents too much. Let me get on grandparents. Just for fun. If you tell if your grandchild does something and you say, "You do that one more time, you're going to get punished," and you don't do it, you're not just. "Well, I love them so much, I don't want to punish them." You're not just. Nor are you mercy. "Well, I'm just applying mercy." No, your mercy is not the absence of justice. I'm going to show you what mercy is. By the way, God is love. But God is merciful and God is just. Just because God loves, but God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wait a minute. When you got saved, watch this. When a person gets saved, did you know the price of sin still had to be paid? And it is. Jesus paid for that sin debt for eternal benefit spiritually, but a person still must die and face the consequences of their sin. So there is a penalty on sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the mercy. See, there's a justness because there is a death involved, but there is a mercy because the hope of eternal life is available. It doesn't negate. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you don't die. Sorry. There's still that punishment meeting out, but there's mercy in the fact that you don't have to die and go to hell. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm headed somewhere. Give me about 3 minutes and then I'll get to the actual sermon is 9 statements, but don't put your shoes on yet. Justice always comes before mercy in the Bible. Take your Bible, turn to Micah. It's right after the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. Justice always comes before mercy in the Bible. Look at Micah chapter 6, look at verse number 8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." You'll notice anywhere in Scripture where justice and mercy are mentioned together, justice always comes first, mercy follows. Justice and mercy have to work together in order for there to be real biblical mercy. This means that justice is more important than mercy. But they can work together. We could say, then, here's what I would call the definition of mercy. Mercy is the proper treatment of the person who is to receive justice. Mercy is the attitude by which we apply justice. Mercy is the method by which we apply justice. For instance, the fellow that stole the church van. Did you know I'm not mad at him? Do you know I'm not going to go to trial, sit there and look at him and say, I hope you fry for another 5 years? That's vengeance. That's spite. That's sin. I'd walk up and shake his hands if I was allowed. Usually he's handcuffed. I'm not angry with the fella. I'd like to witness to him. I'd like to try to win him to the Lord. I'd like, once he gets out of jail, to come to Grace Baptist Church and get baptized and become a church member, become a tithing member, and quit stealing. I'd like to see him get restored. That's called mercy. Now, wait a minute. Does it negate the fact that I think that he should go to jail for the crimes he's committed? He stole a bunch of other people's property, thrown it into our van, stole our van, drove around, was chased by three different police departments, then crashed it and totaled it in a tree and ran away from the police. Now, the fortunate thing is thieves aren't real smart, and he left his wallet with his driver's license in there. You know, it's funny when a police officer says, Pastor, this is why we catch thieves, because they're not real smart. And I said, neither is the guy's lawyer. The guy's lawyer in court one day was saying, well, nobody ever saw him in the van. You can't place him in the van. And the prosecuting attorney said, his wallet was in there with his driver's license. He said, well, you can only prove that his wallet was there, not that he was there. I thought, okay, that was a real brilliant statement. I was sitting on the witness stand. I started laughing. I went like this. The judge looked at me and went, he thought it was funny too. And the judge says, what was that for, Pastor? I said, nobody's ever taken my wallet and put it in a stolen van. I said, I just have never heard that one before. And the whole courtroom. You say, you shouldn't have said that. The lawyer said it. I didn't. I thought, man, this guy's an idiot. Now, wait a minute. Mercy is how we apply justice. Did you know? Let's see here. Mercy, not being the absence of punishment, is the loving application of punishment. Did you know that, boy, everybody smile. I love you. Here it comes. Did you know that mercy is not vigilante? Mercy is not vengeful. Mercy is not you looking at your teenage young person saying, bless God, you got a stinking attitude. Now wipe that stinking attitude. All of a sudden, you're thinking, okay, I got a bad attitude, but look at yours right now. Okay, that's not mercy. It may be justice, but it's not mercy. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Fixing a bad attitude with a bad attitude is not merciful. Being in control and doing it appropriately is mercy. You can kindly say, that's enough. You do that, I brought you into the world, I'll take you out. Y'all understand what I mean? Been there. You have to do it with the right attitude. Now, tonight I want to give you 9 statements about mercy. Let me help you. Number 1, mercy prevents punishing when there's no law broken. Mercy prevents punishment when no law is broken. Did you know that just because somebody makes a mistake doesn't mean they broke a rule? Or a law? Did you know if you turn down the wrong street, you don't get pulled over by the police officer? Now, wait a minute. If you go up a one-way street the wrong direction, he can. But just because you took a wrong turn doesn't mean you're going to get a ticket. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So there was no rule broken.
Mercy says, well, you may have taken a wrong turn, so I'm going to give you a ticket. That's the way the average parent parents their kids. That's the way the average husband and wife treat each other. Somebody makes a mistake, and we want to condemn them. She didn't put a certain ingredient in the food you wanted or put too much of it in, and
good night, you're ready to commit Harry Carey. But it was a mistake. It doesn't mean that it's a crime. Mercy doesn't punish someone who in days or years past did something wrong, but there was no rule against it then. We would call it in America a no ex post facto law. Did you know you can't be, if they make a law today, but you would have violated that law yesterday, you can't get punished for it today because it wasn't a law today. And so many times we want to say, well, it became a law. You should have known. And it was in the process of, so you should be. No. That's not mercy. Mercy says it wasn't a law. Don't worry about it. Mercy makes sure that justice is meted and defends even the wrong when there was no wrongdoing done. There was no rule against it. Everybody understand where I'm going with that? So mercy works with justice so that someone doesn't receive punishment for something they didn't actually break a rule for. Did you know that, I'm going to get going here. I got to hurry. I want to illustrate, but I should just keep teaching. Number two, mercy does not automatically believe an accusation or even one or two witnesses. Mercy doesn't automatically believe an accusation or one or two witnesses. If you came to me and said, I saw Thomas smoking a cigarette before he came into church tonight, my mercy would say, we'll look at it, but I don't believe that. He may have been smoking something else, but it wasn't a cigarette. It was probably his car on fire. Maybe his tire's smoking, I don't know. But mercy doesn't presume that the guilt of someone is there just based on an accusation. Did you know when somebody comes to me and says, preacher, I think I saw something wrong, I'll say, I'll look into it. But do me a favor, don't talk to anybody about it but me until we find out what's going on here, and don't even believe it. We'll figure it out, and if it needs to be made known, I'll make it known. There's so many times we believe what one person says. Or what one person says other people said. Did you know that's called gossip? Mercy doesn't believe that. The merciful part of me, if somebody says that Joe was doing something wrong to June, my mercy says he's innocent and so is he. I'll figure it out later, but I'm not going to believe anything. If I've got a, I'll say, where are your witnesses? Well, this person, okay, bring them to me. If they come to me, then I'll start investigating. But just because even two witnesses come to me doesn't mean they're guilty. I still will defend the accused. Everybody doing all right? All right. did you know that our legal system was originally set up that you were innocent until proven guilty? Not that you were guilty till you were proven innocent. In America today, if you are a police officer, you're guilty until you prove yourselves innocent, not innocent until you're proven guilty. I got to hurry. There's so many things I want to say, and it's coming, so hang on. Number three. So, number one, mercy prevents punishing when there is no law or rule. Number two, mercy does not automatically believe an accusation or even one or two witnesses. If one of your friends says, well, I heard that so-and-so had this done to them and you really need to pray for them, guess what? That's not mercy. Mercy says, hush up about it and don't tell anybody. Well, we ought to be praying. Okay, pray for them, but you don't need to tell everybody why. Just tell somebody they need to be prayed for. Some of you know way too much negative about people, and you don't even know that it's true. You've believed it's true because you believe the person that told you, but you don't have any facts other than what one person told you. Are you doing all right? I'm having fun. Glory to God. Number three, mercy does not allow punishment to happen before guilt is found. This is the one I really wanted to get to. Mercy doesn't allow punishment to begin until guilt has been found out. Did you know that just because there was cookies missing from the cookie jar doesn't mean that you ought to beat your kid? Well, I know he took it. Did you know it could have been your husband? Did you know it could have been you and you forgot it? Now, wait a minute. Did you know that even a child deserves to be heard in defense of themselves? Now, they may not tell you the truth, but they still deserve the right to be heard. That's what the justice system is set up for. When we say everybody has equal rights, that means this. Every citizen in the United States of America has the right to a speedy trial. They have the right to an attorney. If they cannot afford one, one will be provided for them. Isn't that how that goes, Brother Stoltz? Okay, you've heard it more than I have, so it's called your Miranda rights. By the way, they're not intended for non-citizens. Illegal aliens in our country are not to be protected under our United States laws like we are. They're not intended to have been given those rights until they become citizens. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that didn't go over real well. Now, let me give you an illustration. Did you know that virtually every one of these quote-unquote police brutality cases that have been showed on the United States press, people are being punished before that's ever gone to trial? Just the fact that they put it on TV because somebody shot a cell phone video of something, and we're saying, boy, they're guilty, look what they did that was wrong. And everybody's wondering, when are they going to get punished? When are they going to get punished? When are they going to get punished? And they haven't even been tried yet. All the facts aren't in. And yet every one of these police officers, and most of you don't even realize this, have lost their jobs and can never be a police officer again. Where are they going to go in America and get a job? Because all the criminals in the country know their names. They have to totally change careers. Many of them have to change their name, move their families, uproot everybody, and go somewhere else. They have to teach their children their last name isn't their last name anymore. They've had to have it changed. Now, how fair is that? How merciful is that? The United States press has zero mercy. We report things way too soon. That's what happened in the Vietnam War. They went over there and started shooting pictures of what our soldiers had to go through. They saw occasionally some people being shot that they didn't feel should be shot, even children and women. But what they didn't know is some of the most violent offenders against our United States troops, they would booby-trap children and women. They would strap bombs to children. And when the GIs would reach out to hand them a piece of candy, they would reach out and the bomb would blow up and kill our GIs. And they wondered why at times we had to shoot children, but it was to protect the United States soldier. They didn't tell you that. They unjustly punished people before a crime had even been tried. And it's not right. Now, by the way, how many people have convicted these officers? And then they get mad and riot in the streets when the judges and the courts throw it out because there's not enough evidence. They're all upset. Okay? Now, number four. Mercy hopes to never have to punish. Did you know I hope to never punish? Even with my children. I always hoped that I didn't have to punish them. My daughter will tell you. I'd say, honey, we got to talk about something, and I hope this isn't true. Usually it was, but I really hoped I didn't have to do it. You say, why? Because I didn't like punishing my child. I never enjoyed punishing anybody. The least enjoyable part of being a principal in a school is punishment. It really is. There is nothing enjoyable about it because the kid's mad at you. The parents are mad at you. The students or the teachers that got violated are mad, and somebody's always else involved that gets mad. I mean, you got everybody mad at you. And if you don't punish them hard enough, people are mad. If you punish them too hard, people are mad. If you punish them, and this person did it, and this person did it, but didn't get caught, and they start saying, well, this person did it, they never got caught. Well, they still should be punished. It's a no-win situation. Now, wait a minute. I never enjoy punishing anybody. I hope to never have to punish. Now, mercy hopes to find the accused innocent, not guilty. When somebody comes to me and says, preacher, and this has happened to me, I know this about so-and-so, and I'm going to prove to you they're wrong. I already know that's a vigilante hunt. I'm not there to prove that they're wrong. I'm there to find out that they're innocent. If in the process we find out they're guilty, then we'll punish. But I'm not out there trying to dig up facts to prove that they were guilty. Boy, that's a good statement. Okay. Everybody smile. I love you. I'm going to illustrate it. When the President of the United States gets up and says his son would look like Trayvon Martin, but not one of the black police officers that's been killed, that bothers me. You've never one time heard him say about any of these officers, that's what my son would have been. It's always the criminal. Does that tell you what his thinking is? See, he's hoping to punish someone. You've never heard him say, boy, I hope my son would have been like one of these officers that saved this person's life. No, he'll call him an idiot. When the state attorney general of the state of Maryland vowed to convict six officers for Gray, that's it. Sorry, there's too many names going through my head right now. Hours after the video came out, she came out nationwide television saying, we are going to convict these six officers. She was looking for a vigilante hunt. I thought the law was innocent until proven guilty. Then, after all six of them were either acquitted or the trials were thrown out or they were found innocent, watch this, she then gets up in over an hour's worth of statements in a press conference complaining about the fact that how our justice system stinks and how wrong the judge was and how the justice system needs fixed. Can I tell you something? That's not mercy. Mercy ought to be, thank God those guys are found innocent. Amen. And by the way, she even said in her own remarks, he was fleeing from the police in his own neighborhood and shouldn't have had to been treated like that. Now, wait a minute. He was fleeing from the police. And he had done a drug deal. But because he was in his own neighborhood, he shouldn't have been treated that way. Where's the justice and mercy in that statement? Now, number five, I got to hurry here. Number five, mercy watches to prevent excessive punishment. Mercy keeps you from punishing someone excessively. Mercy does not punish out of anger or embarrassment. It punishes by principle. Did you know it's real easy to get embarrassed by your children and jerk them up and punish them real quick? Because they embarrassed you or they made you mad. You know, you ought not punish somebody when you're angry. Because your mercy won't kick in and you're going to be unjust. I never paddled my children. I can't say never. Because I'm sure I failed somewhere along the way. But I tried never to paddle my children when I was angry with them. I'd send them to their room. Tell you why, for them to cool off? No, for me to cool off. I remember a time or two my wife would say, you ought to go to the room and cool off a little bit before you do this. Yep, I will. I'll go cool down. Because I was too angry to deal with it. And she was right. She saw it. And I would. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because that's when you get in trouble and you punish excessively. Mercy does not say, I'm going to make an example of this so that nobody else does this again. Oh no, that's excessive punishment. You know, you don't punish somebody to make an example of them. You punish them to correct them, not to make an example to other people. Boy, that's a good statement. The cost of the violation should have no influence on the amount of punishment. I'm going to make a statement here. Did you know that stealing a pack of gum should carry the same weight as stealing the money out of the cash register of the same store? If you'll teach a child they shouldn't take anything, good night. If you ever took a piece of gum, I remember I must have found a dollar bill or something in the parking lot one day. My dad took me back in. I thought, man, I was going to get to keep this thing. He said, you keep that, you're stealing. You're going to go back in there and give that to the store owner. He said, if you don't turn it into him, I'm going to take you to the police station. Lord have mercy. Say, would he? Go ask him. He would have. Now, wait a minute. Did you know stealing a piece of gum is no different than stealing money out of a cash register? Because that's what you're doing. If you stole the gum, somebody would have paid for that, and the money would have gone into the cash register, so you stole out of the cash register. It's the same crime. Well, it's just a piece of gum. It wasn't hundreds of dollars out of the cash register. You stole money out of the cash register by stealing gum from that store. It's not the amount of what's stolen. It is the crime that was committed that is the problem. Boy, that's a good statement. Did you know that if your child breaks a family heirloom or breaks their toy out of disobedience, it shouldn't be punished anymore either way? Well, one's more expensive than the other. The amount of the cost of whatever they broke wasn't the problem. It was the disobedience that brought the problem. Everybody doing all right? Now, I know one's going to mean more to you that got broken than the other. But that doesn't mean you should punish them more because it meant more to you. Boy, that's a good statement. Number 6, I got to hurry. Mercy is kind, loving treatment of the wrongdoer while justice is being administered. Mercy is kind, loving treatment of the wrongdoer while justice is being administered. Our press is merciless. There is no kind treatment to people that are being tried. The O.J. Simpson trial was merciless. The press, from the time he was going down the slow chase on the 405 freeway in L.A., or the 5 freeway, whichever one it was, we become unmerciful by our bad attitudes, believing the worst before we have all the facts. Did you know that you can be unmerciful because you believe what somebody told you? If somebody tells you that, that Wally Skaggs is drinking and taking a nip every once in a while, you wouldn't blame her because she's got to be with Fred. I mean, I guess you. Wait a minute. Just because, even if my wife told you that, some of you would believe it. Did you know you're not supposed to believe it just because she said it? Wait till we have all the facts. You see, just because of the person's character who told you doesn't mean that it's right. And just because one person told you doesn't mean it's true. Even if Fred told you. It probably wouldn't be true. But mercy waits till all the facts are in, waits till justice is administered, and then it believes what is set forth. Boy, I got to hurry up here. Being merciful means we don't have to agree on all the facts, but we have to agree on the judgment. Do you know, I can't tell you that I agree with every judgment made by every court in America. But when the court says this is what it is, we have to live by it, whether I agree with it or not. And mercy says, I'll live with it. I cannot stand the seatbelt law. I think it is a violation of the Constitution that they have mandated people wearing a seatbelt. My not wearing a seatbelt doesn't infringe any other driver on the road, period. Only my own health. I'm against the government telling me I have to wear it. But guess what? It's a law and I do it every time I get in the car. And I don't lock it in and put it behind me and sit down just so the dinger doesn't go off. I wear the stupid seatbelt. I'm against the government telling me I have to. My not wearing it affects nobody else's safety. Nobody's. It affects mine. That's my decision. But the government has taken it away. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me very carefully. Do I think most of the time it's wise to wear one? Yes. I'm just against the government telling me I have to. That's a personal freedom that has been taken away. You say, well, that's just so petty. That's why if you have a baby, the nurses and doctors have to inspect your car seat now before you can even take the child out of the hospital. Good night. You can't go to the hospital if you're under 18 or if you're a woman without them asking you questions about abuse now. If you go to the emergency room, they're mandated by law to ask a child, did your mommy or daddy do this to you? If you're a woman, did your husband do this to you, your boyfriend? No matter what it is. I'm against that, just so you know. That's not mercy. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. I got to hurry up here. Number 7. Mercy, only 2 more, and I got 8 minutes. Whew. Mercy is the willingness to help the punished during the punishment. Mercy is the willingness to help the person being punished while they're being punished. Did you know that when you punish your children, sometimes you have to teach them how to take their punishment, not just keep punishing them until they do it? Sometimes you have to actually teach them how to be punished. Did you know that you shouldn't, if one of your children does something wrong or your husband did something wrong or your wife, you live the rest of your whole life in shame because somebody did something wrong? Good night. Let's grow up and be big people. I don't think if your child did something wrong as a teenager or even as a young adult that you should walk around the rest of your life in shame because of what your child did. You don't have to agree with what they did, but may I say this, it's between them and everybody else, not between you and everybody else. Let's quit holding everybody's parents accountable for grown children. How many times have you made a mistake as a grown child? Okay, we won't go there. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, still in the book. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means while they're bearing the burden of punishment, we're supposed to be there and help them carry a load. Not take it away, but help them get through. Hey, I go to the jails and visit people who have made mistakes. I don't go there and say, bless God, you sit here and you rot for the rest of your life. No, 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 no. That means you go there and you help them and help plan. And as soon as they can get out, you help them. Boy, I wish you know how many times I've gone to a jail and helped somebody plan their future. And most of the time, I help them plan their future and it's in a different place because they've got to start over fresh and new somewhere else. You'll never even know about it, but I've helped them in the middle of all their punishment trying to help them. Boy, that's good stuff. Number 8, mercy allows for mistakes that are not a broken rule. You know the old adage, don't cry over spilt milk. Wonder how many parents have punished a child for spilling something because of what they spilled instead of did they obey or disobey. Now, if you tell a child, sit down, quit playing with your food, or you're going to spill something, and if you spill something, you're going to get punished for it, then they spill something, they should be punished, but not because they spilled something, but because of the lack of obedience. If spilling something's a crime, I should have got punished Monday when I took my wife and daughter to the restaurant. So I got up, getting ready to leave, and I knocked a whole glass of lemonade right on the floor. And there was 3 mature ladies sitting a couple tables away from us, elderly ladies. And one lady says, ha! I did that when I came in! Now, my first reaction was, shut up, lady. I don't need the whole restaurant to know. I probably shouldn't say this. But that's the same lady that came back to her table, and another old lady at another table, as she was walking back to her table, got up and grabbed behind her. Apparently she had some extracurriculars from the washroom tailing behind her and pulled it out while she was walking back to her table. She said, oh, I usually carry extra, but not there. Now, that's what I wanted to give up and say, but lady, I didn't have toilet paper hanging out behind me when I came in here. Shut up, woman! Say, what'd you do? I got down on the floor and cleaned up the mess that I could clean up. Wait a minute. It was no crime. It's going to happen. What she did wasn't a crime, but I wanted to hold it against her in a court of law. She was embarrassing me. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that people make mistakes, but it's not a broken rule? Just because somebody makes a mistake, if my secretary makes a mistake and something gets through and I've proofread it and maybe we didn't get it all transferred right, did you know that I'm not going to fire her because she made a mistake? I'll take her mistakes for the amount of good stuff she does get done. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Number 9, I'll hurry up and I'm done. Mercy allows the punishment to the fulfillment of the punishment to be the end. And then mercy starts rebuilding. Mercy doesn't hold a grudge. That's why God said here in Psalm 85, thou hast been favorable unto the land, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Israel had been in bondage for 70 years. God was bringing them back, and they were saying to God, God, are you going to judge us forever? Or are you going to show us mercy? He said, it's over. Let's go forward. Punishment's ended. Let's go forward. I'll rebuild you. And God did help rebuild them. He brought Nehemiah in to rebuild the wall. He brought Ezra in to rebuild the temple. And by the way, God even used Darius to give them the money, I think it was Darius, to give them the money to rebuild the temple after they came out of judgment. He was helping them all along in that process, and once it was over, and on they go. Mercy doesn't let the past hinder the present or the future. Some of you have made some mistakes in your life and have never forgiven yourself. Can I tell you something? Forgive yourself and go on. Don't let the past rob you of today. Don't let the past rob you of tomorrow. Now, you may have forfeited the ability to do some things in life, but it doesn't have to mean that your life stops just because you did something. Again, I'll say this, and I'll be done with one more thing here. I think it's wrong that after somebody's been to prison that they can't get a job anywhere. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, I do believe there's certain jobs they could not do. There's certain security work. There's certain law enforcement work. There's certain types of jobs. That doesn't mean they can't ever find a job somewhere. Okay? Mercy is how God restores us sinners. Turn to Hosea chapter 6. I'll read this. I'll make one comment and I'm done. Hosea chapter 6. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Not Amos and Andy, but Amos and Obadiah. Hosea chapter 6, I'm going to read 3 verses, make one statement, and I'm done. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto, he shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter and former rain in the earth. Did I write the right chapter down? That's not what I was thinking. But now, let me say this, and I'm not sure why I wrote the wrong verse down, but I did. Mercy is how God restores us. In that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. By his mercy, he hath saved us. By his mercy, he hath saved us. We were condemned, Romans chapter 8, found guilty. We were not only accused, condemned, found guilty, but sentenced to death and hell. But Christ came, paid our sin debt for us, covered our sins, and it's all paid for. But Jesus also lived our righteousness, and God imputed his righteousness on our account, and his mercy allows us to restore. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's called mercy. Let's quit holding people's sin against them. Mercy does not mistrust someone because of one bad event in their life. Well, I know that person. They have a sin in their past and I'll never trust them again. You don't have any mercy. Why don't we get mercy like God told us to have mercy? Let's not have mercy like the United States Press. Let's have it like God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. So many areas of our life, our marriages, our child rearing, our friendships, our church relationships at work. So many areas we need mercy.